You're listening to Miami University's Career Chat Podcast. I'm Aviva Urkov.
And I'm Craig Michael Patrick. Adam Shoemaker is a 2003 Miami alum with a double major in engineering management and manufacturing engineering. His extracurricular sports included wrestling during his freshman year.
During his sophomore year, he joined Delta Tau Delta fraternity at the Oxford campus, where he invested a tremendous amount of his time in various Greek activities and several student engineering groups. Social activities were offset by frequent visits to King Library to study.
Adam was employed by Clark Dietrich. Clark Dietrich was formed by the fusion of two established market leaders, Clark Western Building Systems and Dietrich Metal Framing. So what is Clark Dietrich? Adam explains.
Clark Dietrich Building Systems is essentially a manufacturer of steel framing products. So steel studs that go, you know, in between two layers of drywall, anything you'd see in a typical commercial building that you would use a steel framing product instead of a typical wood 2x4. We manufacture all those different steel products, but we also have a lot of other services that we do as well. We're a full-service structural engineering company that typically focuses on the cold-form steel framing products. They do some other heavier steel products when it integrates into buildings. So, again, a majority of the business is more of the manufacturing revenue and sales, but we do have the technical support to support our products out there in the construction workplace as well.
To better understand Adam's role at Clark Dietrich, we asked him to walk us through a typical day at the company.
Yeah, a typical day is somewhat broad-based for me now at this point. I've got my title's code development manager, and I guess a majority, I'd say 50% of what I do is I interact with manufacturing codes and building codes, where, you know, I'm an active voting member of those code bodies. So on the manufacturing side, a lot of the codes that we deal with are ASTM International. Formerly, it was American Society of Testing Materials. On the manufacturing side, then the building code side is the International Building Code, the International Residential Code. And, you know, a large majority of what I do is monitoring those code changes and how they affect our product lines. Because it could affect our product tolerances, whether it's the steel thickness, the steel KSI strength, the coatings, you know, any slight little change in there, we have to reflect that on our manufacturing side. And or by voting on it, literally is almost, you know, essentially you would vote in these organizations just like you would on passing a law or passing a bill from a legal standpoint, where if it's a code change that we don't agree with and we don't like, we have to go, you know, to the meetings, tell everybody why we don't like it, and essentially, try to convince people of our reasoning for that code change not going through. That is a very large kind of time consuming, because I don't know if you've ever, you know, if you have a chance to look through ASTM standards or building code. I think the International Building Code itself is, you know, 800, 1,000 pages long, and then states each have their own codes, like Miami-Dade County in Florida. California has its own code. So there's a lot really to pay attention to there to make sure that the products we are manufacturing are code compliant. And then along with paying attention to that from a technical support standpoint, you know, anybody on our sales team that's going out to see an architect or a structural engineer, they have questions regarding thermal properties of the wall, acoustical properties, fire burn properties, and they don't have the answer to it, or it's a question maybe we never got, they are going to come back to me and say, hey, Adam, you know, I got this issue. We had this question. I've never seen it before. What do we do? So, you know, 8 out of 10 times I'll know the answer, you know, because we get that question a lot. But 2 out of 10, you know, might be a real tough question that we've never had before. Or maybe it's a new code or a new law or something that affects us that I will spend some time doing some research. You know, one thing we had was, it's called buy. There's two provisions that are really more, purchasing provisions, but they're called Buy America, and the other one's called Buy American. So one has the N on it, one doesn't, and they're completely different provisions. And we get requests for this all the time, and people don't know what they're asking for. So there's stuff like that that comes through that you really have to, I guess, pay attention to close details and make sure, you know, the sales staff and our technical support staff is all sorted out correctly. Outside of that, that trickles down into quality control manuals for manufacturing. You know, we have to update those yearly regardless, but we also have to make sure anytime there is a code change, it is reflected in the quality control manual. So when they come in to do inspections to make sure we're code compliant, we'll pass those inspections. And then two other, I guess, major responsibilities that I'd have are going to be new product development and then tenant lease administration. So we have about actually 14 different plants across the United States. We have one in Hawaii, and we lease those. So anytime we have a lease come up, typically you'll do a 10-year lease, and then that lease is up, and you have to renegotiate it and renegotiate the terms. Or, you know, if the landlord didn't plow the driveway, you have to send them out a notice and all kinds of fun legal lease stuff. So throughout the day, it's kind of splattered with different stuff, whether it's the manufacturing building codes or updating the quality control manual or doing new product development as well. I'll be project manager for the new product releases, because that development and release is typically very, very heavily weighted on the manufacturing codes and the building codes and testing the products to make sure they're compliant with all that stuff. So kind of have a little bit of a wide swath there. And, you know, again, throughout the day, it's kind of peppered with various things and get a phone call for one thing and have to switch gears and take care of that for a while and come back to whatever I was working on.
So we were curious as to how Adam connected with Clark Dietrich.
They were at our career fair down I guess actually every semester we had one, and they were showing up at our career fair, you know, back in 2002-03, construction industry was booming, and they were hiring all kinds of kids for this entry level program. So they had been at Miami a few times, and actually one of the guys that graduated a semester before me had actually started in the same program, and he was back at the career fair, and he was an engineer. So I just kind of started chatting with him about it, and he told me about it. And, oh, that's interesting. You know, and I never, you know, I grew up around wood products, not steel, so I didn't know much about it. But it was just kind of a neat program they seemed to have. So that's how I got hooked up with them, as they were actually at the career fair.
Adam initially traveled quite a bit for Clark Dietrich in his formative years. So he asked how he managed to keep in touch and network as he moved from place to place with work.
Later, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2000s, you know, Facebook and that stuff started popping up. So that actually made it a real easy way to keep in touch with people on Facebook, because you could kind of do your own research too, type in a city and see who lives there. So that was definitely, as it became more prevalent and more recently, I definitely used it. LinkedIn, I'm actually very active on LinkedIn now. I almost would say, you know, I guess in my more, you know, later in the professional years, that LinkedIn is becoming more of a Facebook to me than anything, because it's, hey, what's this person up to? I'll look on LinkedIn before I look on Facebook.
Finally, we asked Adam to share any advice he might have for students getting started in the world of work after college.
Enjoy it. Do a lot of networking, because to be honest, I still keep in touch with a lot. I can't even count. I mean, a lot of people that I went to college with that I was either in engineering classes with or in the fraternity, I still correspond with regularly. Whether it's, you know, hey, I've actually bounced around for a couple jobs in between, but ended up back at the same company. And in between, you know, hey, you reach out to people, you know, people are at certain companies that can make introductions. So, you know, obviously half of it is getting a great education that you do get at Miami. But from the networking standpoint, you know, meeting people, keeping in touch with people that are all across the U.S. is important. You know, because when I first started with Dietrich, I actually bounced around all over the place. I lived in Columbus for a year, Cleveland for 2 years, Baltimore for a year, New Orleans for a year, ended up in Houston. And that was all with Dietrich. You know, so when you go to all those cities, it literally seemed like every city I landed in, you know, I sent out a couple of emails and said, hey, I got to move to New Orleans. You know, do we know anybody down there? And sure enough, every city I landed in, there was some sort of connection from Miami that I had at that city, whether it was a business connection or just a social connection, you know, it really kind of set me up. So, I mean, you know, have fun, get your education, do that networking and keep in touch with people, because that definitely is important down the road into your career. I guess, you know, I feel like, you know, I've been pretty happy with where my career has gone and where I've ended up, and kind of always felt like I ended up in a better place. You know, I would say, you know, pick something you've got some passion for, you know, regardless of whether it happened to be your major, because you don't always know what you like when you're 18. You know, and throughout your career, make an impression. Don't burn bridges and don't pass up opportunities that fall in your lap. You know, I had a lot of opportunities to move around, which was fun as a younger person. And I know some people are kind of scared to take that. But, you know, you start passing up those opportunities and they stop falling in your lap. And I think one thing early on in my career that if I could go back and tell myself to be a little bit more patient, you know, I guess when you're younger, a year seems like a longer time. You expect things to happen quicker. Hey, I'm more qualified than this guy and that guy. You know, why am I not moving up faster? Where, you know, I might have had some of those frustrations myself. And also don't expect the real world to be, I guess, as organized as a textbook. You know, you come out with, you took all these tests and things happen in XYZ order every time because the book says so. You know, you get in the real world, you work for a large company, and there's all sorts of so many different things that are, you know, affect different situations, whether it's HR or building codes or, I mean, a thousand different things you couldn't think of that, you know, once you get a couple years in, you'll realize. So, yeah, just be patient. Don't expect it to be as super organized as a textbook. And enjoy what you're doing. It'll make it a lot easier, and people will see that in your work and in your performance.
Career Chat is brought to you by Miami University Career Services.